This is the third part of an interview between Terry and Simon Virgo on building churches that are evangelistically relevant, with a focus on evangelism. To watch the interviews, visit blog.terryvirgo.org or follow @terryvirgo on Twitter.
So would you say that the church that you first went to was more preoccupied with personal piety than public evangelism?
I think evangelism was in the background, in all honesty. It wasn't a big priority. For ourselves, to be honest, we were so preoccupied in the early days to try and get church right.
Right. Okay.
That we almost forgot there were unsaved people outside. Mm. And although I would say initially one of my motivations was to be relevant to my generation, we almost forgot my generation because we were so, come on, let's get this church more like the Bible. Mm. And God spoke to us quite strongly. Actually, there was a prophecy about how God said to Israel, it's too small a thing to restore Israel. You're a light to the nations. Mm. And that word really woke us up. Mm. And we began to become much more outward looking. And I would say we pressed on with that. And I think more and more churches now are looking to be evangelistically relevant. We're looking for growth. We're looking to plant more churches. So I would say evangelism has become a major preoccupation.
Right.
Things like Alpha, for instance.
Yeah. And I suppose that's really a part of restoring the church. If you want to build a church that's faithful to the biblical model, then evangelism is going to be at the core of it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that in the early days, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And what they did was plant churches. But their goal was to disciple the nations. Right. And so evangelism has to become part. In fact, it's ever so healthy for us to have an outward perspective. But obviously, our whole calling is to win the nations for Jesus.
And would you say that that's typical of church life? Or would you say that often in church life, conversion and world mission tend to be poles apart?
I think they really can be. And I feel so much that it's the ethos of the local church that develops the individual Christian. What I mean is that some people would say, if you don't preach the gospel perfectly, including all the essential ingredients, you won't get a healthy convert. Yeah. Now, I would say you can get a healthy convert when he picks up a fragment of a tract and looks at it. He says, wow, the way people get saved is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
They say, I saw a gospel verse on the side of a bus or something. Yeah. You can get saved.
C.J. Mahaney said that. He said, someone said to him, Jesus is the light, and he got saved.
Yeah, so you can get saved by a fragment of truth. Mm. But the way you become mature isn't the ideal way in which you came in. It is, what is the atmosphere of this community?
Yeah.
And so when the Bible says, be truthful, and you mingle with people and you realize, hey, they're not very truthful. I heard him say that there and I heard him say that there. So you pick up
the standards of the community.
That's how disciples are made. Yeah. And I think that, so we must work on the church all the time at the same time as working on evangelism, that what you get added to will affect who you become. And the first phrase for conversion in Acts 2 is they were added. It doesn't say they were converted, it says they were added. So you're added to an ethos, you're added to a community where things really matter.
Do you think each and every local church should be expecting to see people saved on a regular basis?
Yeah, it must be so. And I think that it's interesting that a church can be pleading with God for someone to be saved. And you can get used to that. I remember years ago when at a prayer meeting at the beginning of the year, one of our men came forward and said, let's believe God for one person to be saved every month this year.
Mm.
And it seemed huge at the time. And then last Sunday, no one responded to the gospel. And it was said in our prayer meeting, that's the first Sunday we've had for months when no one was saved. Mm. Now that represents quite a swing. And we prayed and worked and prayed and worked. And now we've got used to a certain number getting saved.
Yeah.
And I think that it would be wonderful if that number was 20, 30, 40.
Mm-hmm.
But if we include the gospel every week and somehow learn to express the gospel in clearer terms, we've been so helped by reading people like Keller and listening to him. I think we must learn more and more to present the gospel in whatever we're preaching so that every week people will think, hey, I'll bring my friend along.
Mm. And I suppose at the same time, you're equipping all the people in the church to know and understand and communicate the gospel better as well.
I think there was a time when, because we were not doing that, it might be true that in our congregation people hadn't quite remembered how you present the gospel. But as you say, if they're hearing it week in, week out, you can affect the whole culture of the church evangelistically.